Next item on the agenda is item number 7, Mark Boswell. Great job, Ms. Peabody, as always. Oyster Planting Ground Application, 2014-295. Before you start, Officer Widgeon, if Mr. Nininger or Officer Strawn show up, I've agreed to move them up because Mr. Nininger has a conflict. So if you see them get together or whatever once they get here, how about let me know? Thank you, Zach.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
This is a oyster planting ground application in the name of Mark E. Boswell, received in 2014. It is a request to lease approximately 10 acres within Little Oyster Creek. It's actually in Windmill Point Creek. We'll go over that a little bit as we go through the slides, in Lancaster County. The application has been protested by 3 nearby property owners. So the location is near the mouth of the Rappahannock River. This is the Fleets Island area. The application is located right here. This is the Rappahannock to the south with other leases, and this is public ground. This is Little Oyster Creek, and this is Windmill Point Creek. This got mislabeled when it was entered in the application system. Virtually all of the lease, we believe, is actually in Windmill Point Creek, where it joins Little Oyster Creek. We did receive the application on October 21st, 2014. It was subjected to our normal public interest review. At the time we received the application, the applicant did fill out the use plan questionnaire and did indicate on that plan that he planned to put cages on the bottom. However, after it was protested, we did receive another letter from the applicant with a lot of information related to the protest, but specifically related to the use of the ground, and he indicated in light of some of the objections that he would now want to use the ground for traditional use of just harvesting and planting oysters, and perhaps in the near future do spat-on-shell type activity.
Were the protestants advised of that after that came in?
I believe that they were. We tried to do some negotiations on this.
As you always do, yeah.
It's still objected to.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
And you'll see why in a minute.
Yes, sir.
Related to native oyster propagation.
Yes, sir.
So, again, this is a closer view of the application area. These are the two riparians that came in after we received the initial application, and they were protestants as well. So the question has come up recently. One of the person called me yesterday and asked, had this been leased before? And the answer is yes. This is the old plat, and here you see it's called Big Oyster Creek, or actually Orseer Creek. I guess back in the 20s, 30s, they couldn't spell very well. But this is similar footprint to what you see. This is that same kind of cove area that you just saw previously right here. So it was leased all the way back to 1938. It reverted back to the Commonwealth in 2015. So it's been vacant for a number of years. So we did initially survey this lease when Alan Abbott was still the commission surveyor for that area. And this is the configuration he surveyed. It was a little over 10 acres. This is before we got the riparian applications. But we didn't, in further evaluating it, realize that there was some SAV beds in this area right here, which we don't lease. So we resurveyed it to exclude those areas. Of course, we also surveyed the two riparian applications, which were both located in this area of the cove, and they take precedence over. So this is, again, not the actual survey, but this is the footprint of the riparians after we adjusted the application area to remove it from the SAV. And generally, this was the area we were looking at surveying. So this represents the actual survey, the red area. The way the database works, it doesn't show the two riparians because they've not been assigned yet. It does show the current survey. Those two riparians are inshore where these piers are. We did try to stay up offshore some. This is just a spit island. There's no house here. And again, this is an SAV bed. represents where there's been SAV in the last 5 years, and we typically don't lease those areas. So this is the area we're contemplating as the actual surveyed area today. As you're aware of a lot of previous cases, the uses of cages, floats, and nets for shellfish propagation has resulted in increased public awareness of leasing of bottomlands and highlighted the necessity for more comprehensive review of those areas. Such requests in repopulated areas raise new issues regarding public trust lands to include user conflicts, property values, aesthetics, navigation impacts, and suitable bottom types. Stewardship of public trust lands, while weighing the public and private benefits versus detriments, requires a multifaceted review of shellfish application lease requests. We do evaluate these on a case-by-case basis and consider all comments received for each application. This request generated 3 letters of objection from nearby property owners. Those protests are specific, and they include concerns about navigation in the area and recreational use of this same area, the close proximity of the request to the adjacent highland, and some concerns about health issues, specifically Vibrio. One of the protestants, and is one of the riparian applications landowners as well, indicated in their letter to us that the spouse had gotten a Vibrio infection from stepping on a oyster shell at their property in 2016. Again, 2 of the nearby property owners, including the property owner that raised the health issue, did submit riparian applications, and we accepted those. They do take precedence over a pending regular oyster ground application. They have been surveyed. They have not yet been assigned, but those bills are ready to go out. And we did adjust the survey, obviously, to accommodate those. I've gone over the previous survey and the SAV issue. So the new survey, the reduced area is 7.51 acres. That's what you see in the red there. I know some of the protestants are here and do wish to speak. I think one of them even has a presentation they want to show you, but I'm going to go straight to my recommendation and summary. While we do acknowledge the concerns raised by the protestants, traditional shelling and planting of seed orchards has been conducted in Virginia for generations. Any use of bottom cages on this area would be allowed. The applicant has indicated he's not going to use those, but it would be allowed under our regulations. However, there are restrictions on how they can be placed related to navigation. And while there is always a danger when using waters of the bottoms of the Commonwealth, Vibrio bacteria naturally occurs in the waters of Virginia. And an infection, while very rare, can occur with any wound interaction by going into the water. The area, as currently surveyed, accommodates the riparian lease request of the 2 protestants and removes any potential regular lease area near their shoreline. While bottom cages could have some minimal effect on navigation, should their placement cause more than a minimal effect, VMRC could require them to be removed or moved. The applicant has also stated he wishes to use this area for traditional bottom cultivation and harvest and or spat on shell planting. Therefore, after careful consideration of the protestants' concerns and modification of the surveyed area to accommodate the 2 riparian leases and eliminate the conflicts with the SAV beds, staff does recommend approval of this current configuration of 7.51 acres, and this is the plat. We will have to correct this plat to say Windmill Point Creek, but other than that, this is the configuration that we would recommend approval of. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Stagg?
Question.
Okay, you've got Mr. Tankard, then Ms. Everett.
Just for would you let me know what was the size of the original lease?
11.58 acres, I think.
It was 8.98 acres.
That's the old one. I thought the one that Alan.
Well, yeah, this is the old lease that used to be there.
Okay.
The original, it was there until 2013.
Gotcha.
This is what we surveyed initially. But we removed the SAV, and this line got slightly adjusted
got
to accommodate the 2 riparians.
Thank you. Further questions, Mr. Tankard?
No, sir.
Good. Ms. Everett.
Thank you. You said that the applicant said he would not plan on putting structures there, correct? But he did indicate on his application
correct.
That he would like to.
If
so
you look
clarify
in your
that later.
If you look in your packet, I believe it's 5, 1, and 2.
And I can direct you directly to the actual paragraph. It states that. It's on page 5-1 in the middle where it says planting of Worcester crates. And the first paragraph talks about his understanding of the concerns of the protestants. And the second paragraph says, I am proposing to use the oyster planting ground for non-aquaculture purposes. I would like to harvest native oysters and at some point plant fat-on-shell oysters on this lease. Not be planting shell anywhere near an existing pier, respecting all rights of homeowners to their rights to and from the waterway. Okay. The captain's here, he can certainly address that. But that was his letter back reacting to him being informed of the protestants' letters of concern.
Follow up.
But he could, obviously, as long as there are no...
Similar to the Hyatt application we approved in the thoroughfare, where the regulation allows, if you have a lease, you can put cages up to 12 inches with no additional permit. So if you lease this ground, the leaseholder would have the right, per regulation, to put cages on it. He has stated that he's not going to, but... He can change it. He could change his mind, or he could sublease it, or he could transfer it to someone else.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I'll follow up. So, if he or someone else chooses to, do you think that would pose a problem for recreation in this specific area with depth and
so that
type of recreation?
That's a good question. So the depth issue was raised. I did ask. I have my commission surveyor here to survey this today, and I asked him this morning, what were the depths here? And he said offshore, I believe 6+ feet, and the inshore was shallower, four feet. So a cage couldn't be any more than 12 inches off the bottom. But cages in certain spots on this lease near these piers could create some navigation issues, but we would make them move them if we did. But most of this offshore area, I think, is deep enough that the cages should be far enough under the water they wouldn't create a problem. Now, they have to be marked, so there'd be some extra stakes to navigate around. So, but the regulation says not more than a minimal impact to navigation.
That was my question, is marking. It would be clear to a boater to stay away from an area.
If he puts cages, he's supposed to mark the area where the cages are and put at least a placard or two around the perimeter saying their structures, warning the boating public that there's something there.
Got it. Mr. France.
Yeah. Mr. Stagg, are there any marinas in this area on this creek? Does this seem to be a high traffic area?
I don't believe there's any marinas up in either one of these creeks. I don't believe so. I mean, there are people who live on the creek.
Right.
There is some boating activity.
Okay.
And there's some people here, I think, can speak to that. Mm-hmm.
Further questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Tankard.
A point of clarification. You mentioned that the 11.5 acres of the original lease, that was leased until just 2013?
9 acres. The original survey was about 9 acres. It was leased until about 2013.
Okay.
I believe that they either didn't pay the rent or they could not meet the 10-year use requirement.
Okay. Thank you.
They did revert back to the Commonwealth.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thanks, Ben. Is the applicant present or represented? Come forward, please. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear a testimony that you give me the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes,
you state your name for the record, please.
Mark Boswell.
Okay, Mr. Boswell, anything you want to tell the commission?
I have some additional oyster lease back in the creek that I have put bottom cages on, and the ground is so soft. You know, when I put the cages down, everything was fine. When I went to harvest them, all I had was one big block of mud. So I have not been successful back in that creek doing aquaculture. So that's my intent, was to either just plant shell, see how that does, and if it did well, then try to do some spat on shell back there. But I found back there in the creeks, it's just not conducive to
right. Okay. What about this specific lease? You've agreed, if you get it, you've agreed to just use traditional methods on that? Okay. Further questions, the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in support of this project? Anyone in opposition? Yes, sir.
I'm in support of
Okay, can you come forward, state your name for the record, and tell us why you're in support, if you'd like? Good morning. Should you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testament that you give be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth, serve you God. Can you state your name, please?
Dennis E. Cope.
Dennis Cope?
Yes.
Okay.
Just going to take a minute here. My family's, excuse me, my wife's family's have been in this property for over 100 years. The lease was given up in 2013 because her mother passed away. Excuse me, we got ill and passed away after that, but she just gave up the lease because she lives in California and didn't want anything else to do with it. She had too much to do. Too bad she didn't ask one of us. But yeah. I just wanted to read. There's three letters in protest, and there's one in support. I'm just going to read the letter I sent to the other people that are protesting heard about it. Kind of explains my feeling about the whole thing. I have reviewed the data concerning the oyster lease you emailed me and also did further investigation, including reading all the documents you sent on the links plus others. I have emailed the Commonwealth of Virginia Marine Resources with questions that concern me based on your email, phone calls, and available documents. I recently received responses to my question and am satisfied with those responses from the MRC. The data suggests Mr. Boswell is well within his rights to apply and receive the oyster harvesting permit by law. I would suggest, as I was told by one of my responses, that if I have a specific request on a survey as to oyster shells on my beach, future dock plans, navigation of the waters between the land and river, and so forth, it is advisable to request a specific item, and the MRC would do its best to study the request and attempt to work a satisfactory solution to any of the requests the applicant has. I'm getting there. I have been on the bay for over 30 years as a recreation boater, fisherman, and supported the attempts to clean up the bay as a resource to all. My wife's family has a history of boat building of work boats from the early 1900s, of which three are still working on the bay, and one is fully restored at the Reedville Museum. Other family members have captained oil tankers on the bay, harvested oysters on the bay to help make a living, planted crops where our lots are presently for over 100 years, and lived on and near these waters. I cannot support your protest based on my findings and hope you will take the measures suggested above to alleviate your concerns. Just as a closing note, 30 years ago, I was on the York River. I could get in the river and just pick out oysters, eat them right there off the river. I haven't seen that in 30 years. Since I've been planting the Rappahannock River, which I'm sure you all have a lot to do with, my lot 2.5 years ago started having oysters on it again. So your planters are working. Your oysters are coming back. It's cleaning up the bay. And I think we still have oysters there. So a health issue is we're still going to have oysters. Still going to have an oyster shell. Maybe not as many. But it just appears to me that he has every right to plant oysters, which is a heritage of this state, and it's within the limits of the law. And he's been very more than cooperative with everybody to do this. Any questions?
Any questions of Mr. Cope? Thank you for your comments, sir. Anyone else in support of the project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Would you raise your right hand, please? Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jeannie Sarmento.
Okay.
Proceed. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm here with my husband and a few of my neighbors, and my house is at 652 Little Oyster Lane, which is off of Windmill Point Creek and Little Oyster Creek. Members of the commission, I thank you for allowing us to comment on the proposed oyster planting ground on Little Oyster Creek. Our protest for this application is focused on two primary areas. First, the limited water depth in this creek will create a danger of accidents from recreational activities in such close proximity to the proposed oyster planting grounds. And second, the detrimental impact of oyster crates or floats on the newly restored submerged aquatic vegetation, SAV, in Windmill Point Creek. The first part of this protest is a simple and undeniable fact. The water depth in this area of this oyster ground lease is incredibly shallow. In the summer, we can walk into the middle of this 10-acre parcel, and the water will not even be up to shoulder height. Okay, I'm about 5'6", so I can walk out into that middle of that 10 acres, and the water's about up to here. Our boat will hit the submerged oyster crates as there will not be enough depth above the crate for even the smallest of boats to pass. The area being proposed for this oyster planting ground will not allow for many recreational activities. I wonder how we could possibly navigate around these oyster crates with a boat towing situation. This will create a difficult and dangerous navigation situation for families, and there are many of us who enjoy water skiing, tubing activities on the creek. If this oyster planting ground is approved, there will be no way for a driver of a boat to keep the water skier at a safe distance from these oyster obstacles. In addition, we all know that falling from a skis or a tube is inevitable, and falling onto an oyster crate is dangerous for all families who enjoy recreational activities on the creek. Our second point deals with the importance of the health of the water in our creek. As you're aware, underwater grass beds are critical to the Chesapeake Bay ecosystem. Underwater grass beds offer food to small invertebrates and migratory waterfowl. They shelter young fish and crabs, and they keep our waters clear and healthy by absorbing excess nutrients, trapping suspended sediments, and slowing shoreline erosion. Bay grass beds provide food and shelter to a number of wildlife species, many of which depend on each other for survival. When we built our house on this creek 10 years ago, we never saw any presence of SAV on the creek. However, since 2015, according to the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, VIMS mapping data, the spread and density of SAV on the creek has been remarkable. Looking at the VIMS maps for density and coverage, the SAV can be seen to have grown significantly from 2015 to 2017. And I have a couple charts I'd like to show you. So I have just six slides showing you kind of a aerials to show the growth. So this is 2015, and you can see this is the area where the lease grounds are being proposed, and this is, as you can see, some of the evidence of the SAV. We go down, we can see 2016, and you can see the growth of the SAV. Significant. We're excited about that. And if you look at 2017, now you can even see it in the dock area. So it's just continuing to spread. Probably, I mean, I don't have the measures, but I would say significant. Okay? And if we look at, go up a little bit, here's the same kind of view from the VIMS database. The green layer, this goes by density. The green layer is the densest. It's a 4, which is great. And the yellow is a 3, okay? And this is the 2015 aerial view from VIMS. And if we look at 2016, you can see the remarkable growth of SAV here. It's all in the green, the 4 density, and it's significantly grown out from that area. And if we look at 2017, you can see it spreading again. So the SAV is healthy. It's spreading. It's growing in our creek. We're very excited about that, and I think everyone's very concerned. Human activity, oyster planting in this area is going to stop that spread. 10 acres of oyster crates or floats will halt the significant comeback of SAV on our creek. Just like plants on land, underwater grasses go through photosynthesis to convert sunlight into food. Sunlight, therefore, is the most important factor determining grass survival. Lack of sunlight from the presence of 10 acres of oyster crates will halt the spread of this SAV. We need to make sure the continued growth of SAV in Little Oyster Creek and Windmill Point Creek is our first priority. Please do not allow commercial oyster interests to halt the spread of these critical grass beds. The evidence of growth adjacent to this proposed oyster planting area is clear and significant. These floats or crates will block the sunlight critical for the beds that need to continue their expansion. Thank you for your time this morning, and we respectfully ask for you to keep the SAV expansion on Little Oyster Creek and Windmill Point Creek as your first priority and deny this application. Thank you.
Questions? Mr. Taggart, I've got a question.
You mentioned that one of your two parts of your argument to deny this application was water depth with result with regard to which you mentioned are floats and crates. But yet the applicant has testified here today that he is not interested in that.
We didn't know that at the time when we protested this.
And then the other part you mentioned is the SAV and the applicant's acreage is not included in the SAV. You're also aware of that?
I am aware of that, but based on, I think, what I showed here from these VIMS studies, it's continuing to grow at a very nice clip, and human activity will help that growth. So whether it's crates or shells on the bottom, the SAV will not continue to spread.
I want to follow up on Mr. Tankard. The gentleman did say he was not going to use crates, and now that you're aware of that, does that change your mind as far as
this? Yes, we're happy to hear that there wouldn't be crates there because it would be a navigation issue. However, I'm not a marine scientist. I don't know what human activity such as shells would do to this expansion of SAV.
Okay.
I'd ask for someone who's more into that area to make that comment.
The other comment that you made pertained to human activity and its interaction with SAV.
Mm-hmm.
What about human activity in and around docks involving motorboats and things like that? Does that cause...
That is human activity, but we're not stepping on the SAV. Our boats aren't hitting the SAV. We're not putting things...
Not even on low tide? It wouldn't be close enough to the bottom to stir it up?
No.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? Ms. Everett?
I'm not sure at the appropriate time, but... Could obviously, with SAV, depth is an issue because of water clarity. Would at some time could we hear from them to understand if that spread would continue into what would potentially be leased, that 7.5 acres?
We can hear from them anytime you want to, and be glad to hear from them on that. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Luckenbach or Mr. Farnell, whichever one.
Heard that in the middle, it's about 4 feet deep. We've heard maybe 4 feet out to 6 feet or more. Historically, there's reason to believe that some of these grasses went as deep as 2 meters contour, six feet. The current thinking, and the current guidelines, the current strategy in Chesapeake Bay is set. The goal of 180,000 acres of short SAV is all to the 1 meter contour. We're not seeing things growing significantly deeper than that now. So it is a water quality issue. There certainly will not be a quick rush of this grass down to 6 feet.
Deep. Yeah.
That's not in the cards anytime soon.
Can I follow that up? Because if you note, I noticed the development and the spread, and it seemed to follow the contour closest to the shoreline. Didn't seem to see any coming out. I took notice that it wasn't any backfill toward the channel when the presentation was made. So I think that confirms that.
Again, we don't know the exact contour.
Sure.
I can't point on there and say it's not going any further than this, but certainly a 6 meter. The 2 meters, the 6 foot depth, not on anybody's radar screen as part of the current targeted restoration or expansion. We're seeing it to 3 feet. We're seeing it in a few places I can think of on good high tides. You've got more than that, but not at the deeper parts.
Mr. Ballard.
I believe I read somewhere, can you correct me, it was the idea that it used to be at 6 feet, was that species related or was that water clarity related, that there was greater light penetration?
Water clarity. Most of this is, again, I've seen this particular spot, most of it is going to be rupia here, I suspect there's some gloucester. The But both of them, I mean, it's a water quality issue, and it's just the amount of light penetration.
Right.
And so again, what the bay targets, which, you know, based on some fraction of historical, the goal is to try to restore up to 100 and get back 180,000 acres of SAB in a tier one area, which is centered around one.
Mr. Ballard?
And what are some of the ways we can increase water clarity in the bay?
Well, runoff from land. SAB can increase water clarity. Shellfish can increase water clarity. The biggest component is still runoff from land. Sediment and
Mr. Zedrin?
Is there some way we can impose what the least proposed leased area is on this slide so we can kind of see if the lease is in that area?
Mike could do that on the fly, but so look at this closely, and I'm going to show you the plat, and we're going to explain the interaction. So see what you see there. Online and go to the BIM site, and they have the lease applications on there. I can't put the actual survey on there because we just did that. But so what we attempted to do was to buffer that area you just saw. This is the shoreline right here. And you saw how in that last year, 2017, the grass is already coming around here. So that's why we stayed off here. Try to avoid any of that area where it's at. It does get progressively deeper, and I would agree with Mark that I think that contour line you're seeing on that. I don't want to speak for VIMS, but I don't think you're going to see SAV of any density go much further offshore than what you're seeing about where that line is. It is expanding to the east, obviously. Every one of the years we saw more. And that's the reason we surveyed this in 14. The first photo you saw here was 15. She reiterated that in 13 and 14 there was no grass there. So when we actually surveyed it originally, we thought we were okay. But because it was protested, it took us a while to get to y'all, and we realized, wait a minute, you know, SAV has populated in here, and we don't lease those areas. So we proactively went back in and resurveyed it and adjusted it. So we feel like we've addressed the issues for the SAV and also pushed it further offshore into deeper water, which would help with cages, although the applicant says it's not going to put cages on. Yep.
Ms. Lusk?
I have a question for staff. Are there native oysters currently populating that lease?
We don't typically survey the ground regard.
Maybe that's a question for the applicant then.
Surveyor, if he felt any type of substrate when he was staking it.
Yeah.
And this was historically a lease. Mm-hmm. My guess would be that there's some oysters there. It was historically shell was there.
Thank you.
Yep. Further questions? Anyone else in opposition to the project? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear testimony. You give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Greg Carroll.
Okay, Mr. Carroll, proceed.
Well, first of all, Ms. Everett, thank you for your comments and questions. They were very good, very good. I will not, I guess, belay the point because I'm in total agreement with what Ms. Sarmento just presented to the board. One thing that keeps coming to mind is the ability for Mr. Boswell to be able to put the crates. And if I knew there was no ability for Mr. Boswell to put the crates, I really wouldn't have that much concern. But due to his ability to put those crates, it's a concern still. So I'd like to just voice my objection to that. And other than that, if there are any questions, as I stated, I pretty much ditto what Ms. Sarmento said.
Thank you for your brevity and directness. We much appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Anything?
Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you. Anyone else in opposition? Okay. The applicant, if you'd like to follow up. No. Matters before the commission for discussion. Mr. Minor.
Will we approve staff recommendations of the 7.518 is?
There is a motion to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Dr. Neal. Further discussion? Mr. Tankard?
Yes, I just want to remind everyone that I think, you know, we staff has accommodated the SAV issues. I think we've heard testimony from the applicant that they aren't going to put cages, oyster cages, in this area. Oysters are a positive with regard to water quality. I see this as a good outcome to an applicant that's been put forward, so I will vote yes.
Further discussion? Ms. Lusk.
I'd like to agree with what Mr. Tankard has said, particularly given that this was an area that has historically been leased and historically does have native oysters growing on it. And also remind people that although it is possible for the applicant to put oyster cages, there's always a check at the VMR. If those cages do become a navigational hazard, there's an ability to report that, and staff can take care of that issue. So I'll vote yes.
Thank you. Further comment?
I'd just like to add to Mr. Tankard's point that, as we heard from them, that given the lease area's depth situation, it doesn't seem like this would prevent SAV growth in that area. So I'll intend to vote yes.
Deal. Further comment? Mr. Boswell, I think you've heard loud and clear pertaining to cages in this area. I would recommend highly not applying the cages. And for the record, we've had staff set some discussion pertaining to the regulation as it allows cages to be put on the bottom. We, as a commission, may be visiting that to see how that develops. But, yeah, this is one of those compromises that I think will work out as long as people live up their word, and I think we'll be in good shape. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Thanks to all.